Did you know that the perfect snack exists that not only has the yum factor, because that's important, but also packs a real protein punch? I'm talking about Wonderful Pistachios, a complete protein providing all 9 essential amino acids. Wonderful Pistachios is one of the highest protein nuts. Each 1 ounce serving has 6 grams of protein, giving you over 10% of your daily value. Now that's a snack you can feel really good about. It's hard for me to currently pick a fave because they have several flavors to choose from, including no salt and jalapeno lime options. But if I absolutely had to, I'd say I'm in my no shells, Wonderful Pistachios, sea salt and vinegar era. It's the ultimate snacking solution for when you need a quick, convenient, and tasty boost of pistachio goodness straight out of the bag. Whether you enjoy the ritual of cracking open each nut or you lean towards the ease of no shells, Wonderful Pistachios has something for everyone. It's time to elevate your snacking game with Wonderful Pistachios. Visit wonderfulpistachios.com to learn more. Your girl is a homebody, so one of the best parts of the day for me is when I can come home, put on my comfy pajamas, get snuggled up on the couch, and enjoy something to drink while catching up on a TV show. The thing is, though, that I don't want to drink wine all the time because, though I love it, I'm no longer a huge wine drinker like I was back in the day. I have morning headaches and even inflammation to thank for that. So, to help fill that gap, I've been enjoying Recess Mood as a guilt-free way to unwind. Recess Mood really is a vibe, y'all. There are only 20 calories per serving, no added sugar, and it's infused with stuff I like, including mood-lifting magnesium and stress-balancing adaptogens, which really helps me to relax after a high-energy day. Recess Mood has 4 delicious flavors to choose from. My personal fave is Strawberry Rose. If one of your goals in 2024 is to drink less alcohol, this is the way. Give Recess Mood a try today and see how relaxed it helps you feel. You deserve a healthier way to unwind. Head to takearecess.com/self-care and get 15% off Recess Mood, your go-to alcohol replacement. Hey, hey, what's going on? You are listening to the Brown Girl Self-Care Podcast. My name is Bree Mitchell. I'm the host of the show as well as the founder of Brown Girl Self-Care. I am also a self-care coach. If this is your first time checking in and pressing play, I'm so glad that you're here. And if you've been rolling with me for a while, welcome back, sis. I'm glad that you are with me again for another episode. Let's go ahead and get into it, all right? I want to talk about, and this is a working title as I record this, so I don't know what the title of the episode is going to be when I actually post it. But I want to talk about my thoughts and feelings and I guess maybe even some processes of just being a woman, a certain woman, what do they call it? A woman of age who has never been married. And I want to talk about, like, do I feel lonely? What does that feel like for me never having been married? How do I prioritize my emotional health and mental health and everything since, again, I am a single woman and have been for several years. So I want to talk about that today. If that's you, if, you know, you've been single for a minute or you've never been married or you are divorced right now, currently, no matter where you fall on the spectrum, I think this episode will still be a good episode for you because we are going to talk about just, you know, things like self-love and loneliness and dating and just all that stuff. So that's what I'm talking about today, okay? All right, so let's go ahead and get into it. So I guess the first thing that I would say, or just the biggest question I think that people would have or have asked me is, like, how do I feel about being by myself all the time? Like, am I lonely? You know, that kind of thing. How do I feel about just being by myself all the time? And honestly, just off the top of my head, I can tell you that for the most part, it feels great. I don't know, not all the time, but for the most part, y'all, it feels good. And I don't know if it's because a part of me is already, just by nature, I can lean towards the more introverted side, though I do have, sometimes I can have extroverted tendencies. For the most part, you know, I'm just a chill person. I keep to myself. And one thing I do want to slip in is that based on how I've been socialized, and this is something that I'm also kind of, I guess, thinking about as well, is that introverted side of me my natural side,
or is it just how I just based on just how I was conditioned and socialized? Is that like my true authentic self? Or did I just, I guess, be nurtured to be more introverted, if that makes sense? So that's something that I'm still kind of questioning and working through as well. But I'm just going to go with for now just that I am introverted, right? And I love that about myself. I love being an introvert. And I think that does help me when it comes to just being by myself all the time. I don't typically feel lonely, but I do have moments where I do miss, of course, being in a relationship. I do miss having a male, I guess, energy around me. I do miss that from time to time, not gonna lie. And so I have my moments. I have my moments where I'm like, oh man, I really wish I was in a relationship. And really it comes out when, first of all, maybe when it's time to pay some bills, I'm like, damn, I wish I had somebody here splitting this rent. Hey, this is real talk. Okay. Or if I'm out and about and maybe I'll see a couple holding hands, walking into, for example, like a movie theater or something like that, or maybe just going to a restaurant or something. I'm like, damn, even if for today, I kind of do wish I had a partner, a spouse, a bestie, my counterpart, you know what I mean? So there are moments where I'm just like, oh, I miss that. I miss having that energy around me, that presence around me of a man, but not honestly just any man. And that's the thing. That's why I'm still single, honestly. That's a part of why I'm still single. So I don't want necessarily just any man. I want a partner, a spouse, a man around me that accepts me for who I am. They accept my... There was a movie that I watched recently with Cat Graham and the dude from Umbrella Academy. I don't know his name. And it was a cute little quirky love story on Netflix. What was it called? I don't even know what it was called, but if you look for Cat Graham Netflix movie, you know, the chick Bonnie from The Vampire Diaries, I'm sure you'll quickly be able to find it. And the thing was that she wanted someone that just accepted her for who she was. Like, she wanted someone who accepted her weird. Like, everybody's weird. We all have our quirks. We all have things that make us unique. But it's about having that person whose weirdness make sense with your weirdness. Does that make sense? And that was kind of like what she said in the movie, and that resonated with me. Like, I don't want just anyone. We can all just go out there and just get anybody, right? And I know, and this is no shade, okay, at all intended, because I did this too. We all know someone, and it may be you, sis, that is in a relationship, and they just took the first guy that came along or the first person that came along. Because either like there was just no self-love there, no esteem. They felt desperate. It was like this desperate energy. Maybe this person said the right thing. You're like, oh, finally someone likes me. But there were so many red flags, but you just kind of went with it anyway. And now you're kind of like stuck in this relationship that's not for you. Again, no shade intended at all. Been there, done that, wrote the book, got the t-shirt. I'm not doing that anymore. That's just not for me. So I honestly, I would prefer to just be alone than just be partnered with someone that's just not for me. I refuse. Like, that's not self-preservation for me. That's not self-love for me. That's not liberation and freedom for me. That's just not, when I think of my core values, that's just not what I'm okay with now that I'm in my 40s. And I can tell you that based on like my attachment style, like I was, and I have to be careful of this. So this is another reason why I've not really like just been so quick to just jump out there and be like trying to get booed up, with just the trauma or the things that I've experienced and where my pain lies. My attachment style the way I was conditioned was like just, I felt like I just had to jump on whatever was available. And so when it came to dating, I just went with whoever just said the right thing. Even though, like I said, red flags galore, it was just clear and apparent that they were not for me. I've dated a narcissist. I've dated someone who down the line I found out he has I don't know what his mental illness is, and I'm not a doctor. I'm not going to sit up here and try to doctorize or whatever, diagnose what I think he has. If I had to guess, maybe it's bipolar. I'm not sure. I'm just not sure. But it makes sense now. But it took like 20 years for me to even find out that that's what's going on with him. But again, with my attachment style, I just went with whomever showed me attention, whoever made me feel good about myself. Does that make sense? I would just latch on to these people. And the thing is that, like, even when I was in my 20s, I would go on dating sites. And because I was just so bent on a man making me feel good about myself, the opposite is true too. Like, if you were rejected on a dating site, like, for example, I was on Plenty of Fish, and you put your picture up, and if you would get, like, if you didn't have your picture up, but you had your description, and then once, and maybe you were talking to someone or something, and then once you put your picture up, like, they just ghost you. Like, those were like, that was like a huge blow for my esteem on an already shaky esteem. I'd never really had a good self-esteem. And so trying to date, and I'm just speaking from personal experience here, trying to date when you do not have a solid foundation, I feel like it can open you up to a world of pain, a world of hurt, a world of trouble. Do things work out for people with low self-esteem in the dating world? Of course they do. Absolutely. I'm sure that it does. But I feel like the chances of you coming out of that relationship unscathed when you don't have a solid foundation, I just don't see it happening more often than not. So again, just with my attachment style and me just clinging onto the first man that said a nice thing, or the first guy that would pay me attention, instead of really understanding who the hell I am, what my value is, what my worth is, what I bring to the table, you know, and allowing my desires, my needs to dictate who I date, like my wants, right, dictate who I date. I was allowing my pain to dictate who I date. I was allowing my sense of loss to dictate who I date. And it got me into situations that just ultimately, you know, weren't good for me. So I really would encourage you to take a look at your attachment style and your wounded points, and see if you're allowing that to dictate who's in your life, dating or otherwise. I'm just, even just in general, like your relationships, and see who it's allowing into your life. See if it's allowing you, what type of boundaries it's allowing you to have or not have. Just all of those things when it comes to just inviting new people into your space, inviting new people into your life, versus, you know, this fear of being lonely or being by yourself. So really pay attention to that. Okay. I think now I can say with certainty that part of me not dating also was because I had this will to be Miss Independent, Miss Strong Black Woman. I can do it all by my damn self. I don't need no help. Nobody ever helped me. So now I got to do all the things by myself. So no man could ever live up to what needs to be done. So what's the point? I may not have thought of it in that way, but I think that was the energy that I was giving. And so it was just like, why do I need to date when I've already been hurt so many times before? And, you know, guys are not gonna be able to take care of me the way that I deserve, or like whatever, like. I know this, I realize this may not even make sense, because on one hand you have this low self-esteem, the other hand you're like, but I have standards. I realize that may not make sense, but a part of me, and maybe this was later on in my dating or in my, you know, as I got older, it was just like, what's the point? What's the point? I can make my own money. I can do my own thing. I don't need nobody to tell me what to do. Like, all of those things. So it's just like, I don't need to date. I don't need a man. That's what it was. It was just like, I could take him or leave him, honestly. And another part of it was just like me being afraid to let people in and let them see the real me, the real me, the vulnerable me. Even when I was dating, it was, I think I was dating from a place of just having my walls up, having my guard up. I have not yet been in a relationship where I have just been 100% Bree. And that's, honestly, I feel like that's sad because I'm 47 years old. But I have yet to be in a relationship where I have just completely been me. I have been guarded. I have people pleased or man pleased. I have, you know, not said things out of fear of someone leaving me or just things like that. Like, I don't think the true Brie, like the real Slim Shady, please stand up. The real Brie Shady has not ever stood up in a relationship. Not completely. Not completely. And that's the beautiful thing about me being on this journey to wholeness and just self-love and self-care. I know that I'm not the old version of Brie, number one. But number two, it's like when I do decide to be in a relationship, I feel more confident now that I will be able to let someone in and do it not from a place of like where I'm begging them, please accept me, please love me. No, a place of this is me. And you have the privilege of being in my circle. You have the privilege of knowing me. You have the privilege of being in a relationship with me and vice versa, of course. And just two souls just being ourselves and working through that. It's not going to be perfect, obviously, but doing it where you are just showing up with your heart open. Does that make sense? And your walls down. My walls have been up for so many years, you guys, so many years. And I realized I don't want to operate from that place anymore. I don't want to operate from that place of wounded Brie. And this is not to say that I don't still have wounds. I do. But I think one thing that I've learned during this journey is that as you're healing, you're still going to have those hard parts. You're still going to have those ugly parts that you're working through, that you're processing, that you're opening up to and learning more about. But I feel like as you really get further in your self-care and your healing journey, you get to a place where you know what those areas are, but you don't necessarily try to hide them. You don't, you know, carry guilt about those areas into your next relationship. Again, you're able to be yourself and let your walls down and just let that person know, look, this is where I am. These are the things I've experienced. This is where I am. You know, can you rock with that or not? Or at least that's where I am. That's where I am right now. Can you rock with that or not? And also, can I rock with what you're bringing? Because I know that I'm not expecting the next person that I date to be perfect. I'm not expecting the next person to be 100% completely healed. What I am expecting, though, is for that person to be aware. There needs to be some type of self-awareness. And this person needs to, just like I'm doing the work, imperfectly doing the work, they also need to be imperfectly doing the work. I do have certain things that I will not accept in a relationship. So certain things will just automatically be off the table. Like if you're abusive, that's off the table. If you're violent, that's off the table. If you're not able to communicate, that's off the table. If you're not able to show another person love and respect, that's off the table. You know what I'm saying? But outside of those types of things, just you bringing your imperfect self and me bringing my imperfect self, we're both healing, we're both doing our best to communicate and just have this relationship where we're able to let our guards down, our walls down, that's what I'm looking for. That's what I'm looking for. So, you know, just someone that's doing the work, like I'm doing the work, right? And me not accepting less than what I deserve. Because for a long time I did. I'm just like, hey, there's a guy walking down the street. Oh, you think I'm cute? All right, you're my boyfriend now. I mean, I'm simplifying it. And it wasn't necessarily like that, but you catch my drift, right? You catch my drift. Let's go ahead and take a break right here for just a moment.
Black representation in media matters. When we see people that look like us or share our experiences, it provides a sense of community, validation, and belonging while also resisting the narrative that we must remain silent and invisible. The next generation of influential Black voices can be found on NPR's new collection, Black Stories, Black Truths. Black Stories, Black Truths is a celebration of Blackness from NPR, where you'll hear stories of joy, resilience, and empowerment. One episode that I really enjoyed was titled, In Serena Williams, A Generation of Black Players Saw a Legend Who Looked Like Me. The way they wove the episode together with interviews, storytelling, and music kept my interest because it felt more like a documentary than a typical news piece. This is what it feels like to me to have our stories centered. Turn on NPR today and hear a range of voices as varied, nuanced, and Black as the country we reflect. Listen now to Black Stories, Black Truths from NPR, wherever you get podcasts.
This episode is brought to you by BetterHelp, and I am so thankful for that, y'all, because healing is a whole process. How can we be okay with setting boundaries, inviting more joy and rest into our lives, or loving ourselves more if we've never been shown how to do so? Encouragement and tools from podcasts like this one is definitely one way, but sometimes we need more resources, and that's okay. You have permission to get what you need, how you need it, so that you can go from struggling to thriving. This is why I strongly believe in therapy. Listen, we all have a story. Mine includes stress, major trauma, and depression, and therapy helped me live a better life. Your story may be a complete 180 of mine, and in case you're wondering, yes, girl, therapy is still for you too. Everyone can benefit from therapy. If you've been on the fence about therapy, I want to encourage you to give BetterHelp a try. BetterHelp is designed to be convenient and flexible, which means it's all online with availability that meets your schedule. Learn to make time for what makes you happy with BetterHelp. Visit betterhelp.com/bgselfcare today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P. .com/BG Self Care.
Okay, now let's go ahead and get back into this conversation.
So let's see. But yeah, just Miss Independent, she was shining through. And that, I think that was also just me being in survival mode too. I don't think, I know. Because there was a certain period of my life. I think I've been in survival mode for decades. And it may have looked a little different depending on what season of life I was in, but real talk, I was in survival mode for decades. So that Miss Independent Bree, she had to be there for a while because of the season that I was in. She had to be there for a while. And so I get that, but I don't feel like I'm in that season anymore. And so whereas I was afraid to let people in and afraid to let people see the real me and afraid to be soft or afraid to show emotions, like just having that guard up and just being that sarcastic Brie, I don't have to be her anymore. I don't have to be her anymore. And that's a beautiful thing. I think another part of it too, even though I've said all of that, I think another part also was that I knew, like one of the reasons why I've been single too, is I knew I needed to prioritize and center my healing and happiness. And it was as simple as that. That was another reason why I was single. Like once I started doing the work, like I knew and I know that I had to begin to prioritize myself. I had to learn how to center my healing, center my happiness, center my joy, center my abundance, center my self-love, center my relationship with God, like center all these things that matter to me. And I didn't feel like I could do that if I was in a relationship. Because relationships require so much of us, just like being a parent does. Relationships require so much of us. They really do, to make a relationship work. Yes, a relationship should have ease. If you're fighting all the time, that's not it. If there's conflict all the time, that's not it. That's just not it, y'all. That's just not it. And so it's hard to prioritize your healing if you're in a relationship with someone who doesn't understand, first of all, why healing is even necessary, right? If someone values, you know, quote unquote, I'm like just hardness and being a man and all that stuff, like, it's going to be hard to prioritize yourself in a relationship like that. It's going to be hard to center your happiness in a relationship where your partner thinks that everything you do needs to center on him. Right? And so I just didn't want to be in a relationship right now and run the risk of not being able to make my healing, to prioritize my healing the way that I deserve. Does that make sense? I hope that it does. I hope that it does. So that's another reason why I've been single. Like, now that I've been in this healing journey, because I started my healing journey maybe, I know it was after my brother passed away. So let's say 2017, 2018. And my last real relationship was, I think that ended in maybe, I want to say 2016. If I'm not mistaken. So maybe actually my journey probably started towards the end of 2016, before 2017, the reason why I remember 2017, if you haven't listened to the podcast or you're not familiar with my story is because that is the year, July 2017 is the year or the month and year that my brother was shot and killed. And that was when I really was like, I've gotta do me. Because life is short. But I think, honestly, if I'm thinking back, after my last relationship, which ended, I think, in August of 2016. Sorry, y'all. There's a helicopter. Give me one second here. So in case I didn't say it, I'm at one of my happy places. I'm at the park recording this podcast episode. And there's a helicopter flying over. But my last relationship was August of 2016, and that relationship was a doozy. And I think that actually around that time, towards the end of 2016, is when I really was like, no, I gotta really do this self-care thing. And then it was amplified, like kicked into overdrive in 2017 after the death of my brother. So I would say technically I started legit started my self-care journey end of 2016. So that was 2016, 17, 18, 19, 20, 21, 22. Are we in 22? It's been about 6 years, as a matter of fact. Actually, yeah, because that was August, September 2016. And here we are, September of 2022. It's officially been 6 years of me really learning more about me, prioritizing self-care. So, you know, I've been single for 6 years now. I know that probably sounds absolutely insane, especially for me to be so beautiful, so smart, so intelligent, you know, so bomb. Do y'all still say that in the streets? She the bomb? I don't know. I'm old. It's been 6 years that I've been on this journey and 6 years of singleness. And so it's easy to, you know, understand why people may think or assume that someone that is in my position would be lonely. That's why I'm having this conversation with you now, because I know that some of you are in a similar situation, be it single, divorced, never married, widow, etc. Right? So yeah, let's get back into it. So Where am I now with things? Well, I would honestly, I can tell you that for a long time, I didn't even want to date. And again, that's because I was wanting to take care of me. My last relationship, again, I don't even really want to talk about it, but it was a doozy. And I can tell you that I've had the opportunity to be married at least twice that I can remember. Once was in the relationship and there was a ring, but once was in the relationship that ended in 2016. And then the relationship that I mentioned before with the gentleman or the guy that now I know he has a mental issue. I'll just say a mental issue. He wanted to get married in Vegas. And that was when I was in my, I think, mid-20s, if I'm not mistaken. We literally could have gone and gotten married. If you live on the West Coast, like West Coast, or you live in Cali, you know how often we go to Vegas, right? Especially when you're in your 20s. Like, that was the thing. Going to Vegas, like, all the time, at least a couple of times per year. I did that actually up until, like, my mid to late 30s, I would guess. So there was an opportunity to just hop in the car, drive to Vegas, and get married. And he actually wanted to get married, and I'm so glad that I did not. I'm so glad that I did not. And then again, the relationship that I was in my 30s, that included possible marriage. Again, there was a ring. And I did not. And I'm so thankful. And there were red flags in both of those relationships. But because I just was not secure in myself, and because also I'm like, well, you know, maybe I should just get married. Like, some of the reasons that I was just like, maybe I should get married is because, and these are reasons why, you know, marriage is not it. Like, at least to this person, like, this is not it. You know what I'm saying? I'm like, well, you know, at least I'll have an extra income stream coming in. This, I'm just being real with you, okay? or, you know, well, I don't want to be alone anymore. I don't want to be alone anymore. Or, you know, now I'm getting a certain age. What are people going to think about me? Because I've never been married. So maybe this is a good decision. Well, you know, I love them. There's feelings of love there in spite of all these red flags and all these things that are telling me this person is not for you. And there were many. Those were the reasons why I was considering marriage. And I can be honest about that now. Maybe I didn't necessarily intentionally think that way, right? But I think on the subconscious level, it was there. And I just knew that person wasn't my person. Like, there was just so much conflict in that relationship. And I just felt like I couldn't even be myself. I just couldn't even be myself. So I just chose to extract myself. And again, I'd rather be alone than in a relationship that is not for me. So as for now, I can tell you for the longest time, I did not want to date. I just wasn't ready. And most days, I guess, I still kind of don't. I've gotten to a place where I'm just very comfortable with me. I love learning more about me. I love exploring, you know, things that I like. And I want to make it very clear that it's not because there aren't good men out there. I want to make sure I say that. I believe there are definitely good men out there. I believe there are excellent men out there. Perfect men? No, I'm not saying that. But I do believe there are great men out there. And listen, I am open. I don't care at this point. Hashtag Black Love. I am here for Black Love. All of the relationships I have been in have been with Black men. I love love. I love Black love. I'm here for it. However, the older I get, at this point, listen, I don't care if you're Black, brown, white, green, yellow, red, purple. At this point, I don't care. I am open to love. If you are a white man and you come correct, I am open to love. If you are a Black man and you come correct, I am open to love. If you are a Latinx man, and you come correct, I am open for love. If you are an Asian man, listen, I'm just making it clear in case there are men listening to this episode. I am open to love. That is the priority for me when it comes to dating. Not the color of your skin. Again, I love black love, but at this point, as I'm nearing my 50s in a few years, if the person comes correct, I'm gonna explore it, right? If the person has the right heart, I'm gonna explore it. If the person has the right self-awareness, I'm gonna explore it. So that's where I am with that. Because I know that there are still amazing men out there. I don't really feel like weeding through the riffraff, honestly. So that's why I've kind of been like double dutching with the possibility of getting back out there. But I really honestly think that 2023 is going to be a year of me just putting myself back out there. That's honestly how I feel. So we'll see what 2023 brings. But in the meantime, I'm still just doing the work. And for me, that means, again, just really infusing myself with self-love in every opportunity. That looks like setting boundaries. That looks like, in certain situations, staying up for myself and not just like people pleasing. It looks like honoring my boundaries. It looks like just doing things that show I care about myself and nurture myself. It could just be something simple, like just getting up, taking a shower, lotioning my body. I know this sounds really basic, but I'm just telling you what it is for me. Lotioning my body, putting on a little bit of makeup, putting on something pretty, looking at myself in the mirror and just saying, hey, girl, you are so beautiful. You are so smart. Just dating myself, really doing things I like for myself, taking myself out to eat, buying myself flowers, enjoying downtime by myself, like just doing those kinds of things that help show me that I love me and help show me that I care about myself. Because I can tell you that when you get out in them streets, narcissists and other people like that, they can look at you and see that you are not secure. They can look at you based on how you take care of yourself, how you speak about yourself, the types of conversations you hold. Like, they can glean from that, oh, she's somebody that I can, you know what I'm saying? Even if they don't do it consciously, like, people can pick up on that. And so I'm not trying to put that out there. I want to let people just know, even without saying a word, that this is who I am. This is how, based on how I carry myself, based on just little, you know, things like that. Like, and so that's why, that's another reason why I'm really taking time to center me and prioritize me and love me and take care of me and make sure that I'm good. That's what I'm doing right now. So that for me is what the work is. That's a part of my healing work. Just taking care of my needs. Even the needs of past Brie and little Brie when I was a kid. Like, what things, and this is maybe a question for you too, what things were you missing in your life when you were younger that now as an adult, you're like, man, I really wish I had that in my life. Be it more words of affirmation, be it just more gentleness, be it more friendship, more support, more feelings of safety and security. Like, I'm just quickly trying to give you a few things that maybe you felt like you were missing in your life that you can give yourself now or find ways to get now, right? That's the type of work that for me is doing the work, or a part of doing the work. There's more to it, but that's a part of doing the work. So that's where I am right now. That's what I'm doing right now. That is the work that I am doing. So again, to answer this episode's question, like, am I lonely right now? Am I lonely as a woman in her mid, or am I technically in my late 40s now? I guess late 40s. Ah! I'm in my late 40s. I don't think I can say I'm in my mid 40s anymore because I'm 47. So now I'm officially in my late 40s. You know, am I lonely? How do I feel about never being married? I feel like, honestly, it's been a blessing because the possibilities that I had were not for me. And so now I can look back and say, you know, thank God. Thank God for me not being in those situations. I am not lonely. I am not lonely. I am alone. I think that's an India RE line. I may be alone, but I'm not lonely, or something like that. That sums it up right there. That's how I feel. I'm okay with it. I'm okay with being alone. But there is a but. But I think I am ready to start cultivating a relationship beyond the one that I'm cultivating with myself. So again, I'm excited to see what 2023 brings, because I do feel like I'm ready to put myself back out there in the dating pool. So maybe I'll have some stories and transitions and all that kind of stuff for the podcast as I continue on that part of my journey in 2023. So that's it for this episode. I hope that it brought you some understanding, some maybe some peace in where you are right now, even if it's just to show you that, you know, you're not alone. It's not just you. No matter where you are right now in your status, it's not just you. You're not alone. We've all had some highs and lows, and it is honestly okay to have time to yourself. There is no specific amount of time that is quote unquote bad or wrong or right. It's whatever makes sense for you as you continue doing the work and loving you and building your esteem and building up your foundation. Because I can promise you, while you're doing the work, when you do, even if you're in a relationship right now, as you continue doing the work, it can only make your relationship better. It can only make your relationship better. You doing the work can only make your relationship better. That's how I feel. And if you're single, it can only make your next relationship better, right? When you go into a relationship as a healed or healing person, that's a beautiful thing. That's a beautiful thing. So that's where I am right now. I would love to hear your thoughts on this, whether you are married, single, in a relationship, in a situationship, confused, not really sure what's going on. I want to hear your thoughts on this. And also, I just want to know, like, what has your experience been like when it comes to just being by yourself? Do you feel lonely? Do you feel happy? Do you feel joy? Are you, you know, enhancing your relationship with yourself? Do you feel miserable? Like, I just want to hear your thoughts on being alone. All right. So that's it for this week's episode. I'm so glad that I was able to kind of talk about this, and maybe I can do some more episodes on just like relationships. I really do want to. I would love to have a relationship expert on. I want to have someone on that can talk more in depth about attachment styles. I think that's very important. I don't know. I just have a lot of ideas for episodes. So I really do want to start having more experts on so that we can really continue to lean into ourselves and deepen our healing. So definitely much more to come. So that's it for this week's episode. By the way, if you would like to email me, because I didn't give you the email address, it is connect@browngirlselfcare.com. Again, that is connect@browngirlselfcare.com. That is it for this week's episode. I cannot wait to speak to you next Monday. In the meantime, have a blessed week, and we will talk again soon.